she had a tattoo there on her upper back, just above her shoulder. It was there. Only one color. She had gotten it a long time ago, back before tattoos were even fashionable. She got it in one of those back alley garage tattoo parlors where you risk life and limb, infection, and permanent scarring. Hers was just one color, as I said, a dark blue. It was kind of like a scrape in the form of a cross. She didn't know what was worse, the tattoo or what she had to do to get it. See, there were many men, boys she would say, and many petty crimes that she participated in order to earn the right to be a part of the gang to get the tattoo that she wore. But that had been years ago, in a different town. That was long before she took night school and got a promotion. A new job and a new city and a husband and a family. But the tattoo still remained. Now she found herself sitting at a Board of Ed meeting. And they were talking about kids and gangs. And they looked over to her to ask her opinion of what she thought. One of the board members had already said that if you are going to bring kids from gangs into this program, then don't expect my kid to stay around. Why do you think I bring my kid here in the first place? I want to give them a good upbringing. And the conversation continued, and she thought to herself, if they only knew. If they only knew where I've been and what I've done and what I've said, they wouldn't even ask me that question, let alone would they want to sit beside me. Yeah, if they only knew. We have moments like that, don't we? Those moments when our world gets just a little bit smaller. Probably not a tattoo, but we all bear scars. We all have them. Things that have happened in the past, we still carry them to this day. Moments in our lives where the world gets a little smaller, when we're a group of people who don't know. They don't know my scars, they don't know my failures, or they probably wouldn't even talk to me. Yeah, my failed marriage, or my unfaithfulness, my broken vow. Maybe it's the fact that I'm a recovering alcoholic or I've struggled with the drug addiction. Maybe it's just the fear of that unwanted pregnancy when I was younger that I aborted my own child. Or the parents I haven't talked to for years and my children that we argue so often, I don't even know how to have a relationship with them. You see, sin disrupts our lives. And sin brings scars that scar us deep. And we're well aware of the fact that things are radically different would everybody else know what I've done. If they only knew where I've come from, what I've said, what I've done, what I've thought, what I'm thinking of them, they wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. See, that's what tonight's about. It's Maundy Thursday. It's a time for you and I to remember our Lord's Last Supper. It's a time for you and I together in the presence of a God who knows. The presence of a God who knows everything about you. All those things that you want to forget, He knows your scars. As we meditate upon our Lord's passion and as you come forward to receive the very flesh and blood of Christ, it's my earnest prayer that you will experience the wonder of being in the presence of a God who knows where you come from, who knows what you've done. For this table is a table of forgiveness. A few moments ago, I read St. Luke's account of the Last Supper, and he is very clear to let us know that Jesus knew all about what Judas had done. It's kind of like one of those movies where we have two characters. They're apart, then all of a sudden they're together, and then the whole story comes together. He starts off with Judas. See, Judas had arranged for the betrayal of Jesus, even for the 30 pieces of silver. That was his Passover preparation. And then tonight you heard of Jesus' preparation of sending out his disciples to prepare the upper room for his disciples to celebrate the Passover with him. And then Judas and Jesus come together. And it's hard not to recognize that Jesus knows. His betrayer is sitting right in front of him. And Jesus says, "The hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table." With these words, Jesus says, "Judas, I know. I know where you've been. I know what you've done." Well, how do the disciples respond? Oh, they break out into the argument about who it may have been. Who is it? Who is it that's going to betray Jesus? You see, that's how rumors start in a church, right? You overhear someone say, "We need to pray for them. I'm going to pray for a member of church who's struggling with the guilt of a past abortion." And our first part isn't, "Lord Jesus, give her strength, give her courage." Who is it? Who is it? We want to know the certainty of sin. I want to know who it is. Who are you talking about? Or someone else says, "I'd like to pray for someone who's having marital problems." And then we start sorting through everybody's closet to find out who it is. Whose marriage is in trouble? What's happening with them? We want to know. In the shadow of wrongdoing, you and I get so engrossed in seeking out the certainty of sin. But look at Jesus. His betrayer's right in front of him. He can reach out and touch him. He's right there. But Jesus Christ begins the Passover meal by speaking of his upcoming suffering, and then he turns to his betrayal. Yet in the face of all that, that certainty of evil, that Jesus knows what Judas is doing, he never once tries to turn all the other disciples against him. He never once tries to spill all the beans and says, "It's him, throw him out." He doesn't become afraid and run away to another city. In fact, in the certainty of evil, Jesus does the certain work of God. Oh yes, one of them's going to betray him, and we know who it is today, right? But he's not the only one. Others will deny him, and all of them will flee from him. Every single man at the table will ultimately reject Jesus by the next day. But in the midst of all that wrong, that weakness, and that evil about the human flesh that's so sinful, there remains one thing that is absolutely certain and true. In the face of certain evil, Jesus Christ offers certain forgiveness. He says, "This is my body, which is given for you. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." There at the Lord's Supper on that night, the gracious work of God was alive and active for his own disciples. And he knew all their sin. Tonight it's alive and active for you and me with all of our scars. All those things in our life where we just as soon forget about, it's like, "I don't want to remember it anymore." And there's those sins, and in your mind you think, "If they only knew. If they only knew what I've done." For some of you, I do know. For others, God does. He sees and he knows. And tonight we confess to him the certainty of our sin. And how does God respond? He proclaims the certainty of your salvation. In the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, He gives you the gift of forgiveness. In the body and blood of Jesus Christ, He comes to you tonight to assure you of His love for you. You can literally taste it and see that He is good. Here, He no longer acknowledges you as a sinner, but He acknowledges you as a child of God, forgiven and redeemed. A table that He's prepared. He's not only the host, but He's also the meal for you and me. That's what I want you to experience. To be in the presence of Him who loves you in spite of all that you have done, in spite of all of those scars that mar your life, to know the wonder of what it really means to be forgiven. There you have it. The table is ready. What are you waiting for? In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord.